This is the year to stop overpaying for your family plan. So choose a Straight Talk wireless family plan. Unlimited data, talk, and text on a reliable 5G network. And you can get a new line starting at $25 per line per month for 4 lines, plus taxes and fees and no contracts. That's good decision making. Available at Walmart and on straighttalk.com. Family plan discount with 4 lines, all on the Silver Unlimited plan. Not combinable with auto pay discount. In times of traffic, your data may be temporarily slower than other traffic. Video streams at up to 480p. Hey, it's Bobby Bones. Hey, I just want to say thanks to everybody who has stepped up for the St. Jude kids. St. Jude's doing incredible work fighting childhood cancer. And because of donations like the ones that you give, families never receive a bill ever from St. Jude for treatment, travel, housing, food, none of that. Help St. Jude stop childhood cancer. Become a partner in hope. Get this awesome new This Shirt Saves Lives shirt. It's going to look great on you. So join all the doctors, researchers, and me in this fight. All right, text the word Bobby. It's only 6 numbers to 785-833. Again, text the word Bobby to just these 6 numbers, 785-833. Willie Nelson, Waylon Jennings, Kris Kristofferson. You know, before they were legends of outlaw country, they were lost souls looking for their sound. Don't miss Mandy Moore and the new scripted Audible original, The Boar's Nest, Sue Brewer and the Birth of Outlaw Country Music. Discover the true untold story of the extraordinary woman behind the rise of outlaw country music and its biggest stars. Hear how one woman's vision in her tiny living room, far from Nashville's Music Row, became the epicenter of a musical movement. Mandy Moore as Sue Brewer in The Boar's Nest. Listen now at audible.com/The Boar's Nest. What's up, everybody? It's Bobby Bones here with another episode of Unsigned and Independent. We do this show, so maybe you find some new music to listen to. Maybe you find new artists to support if they're playing a show. Maybe you want to buy some merch, because that's a big deal to artists, too, because that's money that they actually get and get to pay their bills with. And this is another episode of that show with Kevin O'Connell, a.k.a. Kickoff Kevin. So we're talking about Allie Keck. Allie was on The Voice, and she said she didn't have the best experience because she didn't really fit the mold of what they were looking for when it comes to a dramatic story, because they are, I can tell you from experience, always looking for a good storyline. She stopped playing on Broadway, the street here, about a year ago, and she now focuses on music, and also to make money, she's a real estate leasing agent. So she was selling phone book ads when she first moved here in 2016, so she could pay the bills in order to make music, which is a very common theme with pretty much all the artists, unless they come from like a ton of family money. That happens sometimes too, but most artists have to grind, do 2 jobs until they make it. And I wanted you guys to hear this interview with Allie Keck. So here we go. She moved to Nashville to chase her dream. Check her out on social media, but she says she has a love-hate relationship with social media because she moved here before that was a big part of what she was doing, and now she's had to kind of adapt and adopt. But you can't follow her. Allie Keck Music. A-L-L-I-E-K-E-C-K. Allie Keck Music. Enjoy. Support if you can. Here's another episode of Unsigned and Independent with Kickoff Kevin.
Allie, how are we doing?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm doing good. Glad we got to get together again. This is not the first time we've met in person. The first time we met was at Whiskey Jam, actually.
Yes.
Maybe a few months ago during the summer at some point. Mm-hmm. And I remember hearing you play, and I was like, I got to just see what her story is about, you know, because I have this podcast, and this is what I love to do. I love to see these artists that go out and play at these local venues, especially at Whiskey Jam, which is great. And then kind of find out more about you. So I went up to you and I said, hey, how you doing? We talked a little bit and then you said you're on The Voice. Mm-hmm. And so this is what drew me to you. And I want to jump right into it. Your experience on The Voice. I've had a couple people in here that have been on The Voice and they've talked about how great their experience was and how it was all, daisies and dandelions, great. And you kind of said you enjoyed your experience. It was a great experience and good exposure for you. But it wasn't exactly what you expected, am I saying that right? Or can you explain that more?
Yeah, I think I met some wonderful people, and the people who are running the show are wonderful. I think what I struggled with the most was COVID. There was like quite a few COVID rules and things like that that resulted in, you know, you kind of had to be isolated. So it wasn't as much fun as I thought it would be. And then when it came down to, I mean, I think at the end of the day, they're casting a television show. And it's a contest on, it's basically around a television show more so. So I didn't exactly have like the story that they were looking for. And so I struggled with that. And I think that's why part of the reason I maybe left a little earlier than I would have liked to.
What, I mean, what is that story then? What is your story? Were you too vanilla for him?
Maybe. Yeah. Maybe that was it. I don't know if it just had something to do with, like, I didn't really have any drama to give them, or like maybe just there's could be something with being too relatable. I don't know. Like, it was just, I have all four of my grandparents. I'm very blessed to, like, not even have to deal with anything really sad. Like, I'm very privileged, and I just kind of didn't really have anything, a sob story. I didn't really have anything too exciting. It was kind of like I was a real estate agent by day and a rock star at night. And the amount of real estate agents I know on Broadway is insane. I'm not the only one. So yeah. I think I just wasn't as, like, special as they'd like.
Did you ever feel any pressure to feel like maybe I should try to act like I'm somebody else just to fit that mold and be able to stick around a little longer than I want to, or then I guess that they're going to have me here?
Yes, 100%. I mean, people all the time are like, well, why don't you just make up a story? Because it wasn't the first time I had auditioned for these shows. This was probably the sixth time I had done this one. And then I think I've done American Idol about 7 times. So just my dad and I would go for fun when I was younger. And obviously, you know, when I was younger, I can blame it on that. Like, I was just not ready for it. And I think maybe I was a little bit more seasoned with, because I had really picked up on Broadway playing more often. And that's probably why initially I made it this time. But yeah, I think when it came down to it, I just couldn't even, people were like, oh, you should just make up a story, make up this, you know, and I've seen people get in trouble for that. So
really?
When it came, there's a few articles you can look up where people have made up stories to get on these shows and then they figure out it's not true. And yeah, it doesn't end well. So,
and now we live in a world where you can find out pretty much anything about anybody with a nice Google search or some type of Instagram or social media, whatever it might be. So you've been going at it for a long time then. You said as a kid you were trying out for all these shows.
Yes.
How old were you? Your very first one, do you remember?
15.
Wow.
Because when I turned 15, they had actually changed the age at American Idol. It was around the Justin Bieber time, and like I watched all these boys with bowl haircuts get sent through, and they were like, you know, don't sing the Adele song. Like, they were just like being particular about what they wanted at the time. And my dad and I waited in line all day, and we did that again, like, I think the next year and the year after that. And then we started doing, like, they started doing the bus tours that would go to the state fair. We did that. I did online stuff, you name it.
Wow. Was this all in, you're from Illinois.
Mm-hmm.
What city? Where?
So I'm from a town called Neoga, but it's right outside of, like, Effingham area, if you're familiar with that, but, like, southern central Illinois.
Okay, and do these auditions come to, you said a state fair, or do you have to go to different locations?
No, so we would drive to Chicago, we would drive to St. Louis, we would drive, the furthest we ever went was Milwaukee, and that was because it came to the state fair, so it was an hour and a half to Springfield, and that was, like, the shortest drive. He's, you know, you just go, figure it out, wait in line, and he went and worked at, like, a coffee shop. And that was the one time I made it to the second round of, like, cattle call auditions. And the follow-up or the callback was in Milwaukee. So we had to drive, like, 8 or 9 hours. It was supposed to be a really easy thing. And I was in college at the time. And I told one of my professors, I was like, you can't tell anyone. I'm not going to be in class on Friday. He announced it to the entire lecture hall that I had a callback for American Idol.
Oh, no.
And I was just, like, I was so scared I was going to get in trouble. I didn't even make it through to the next round. But it was just, like, one of those things where it was kind of a disaster the entire time.
So you have to keep all that on secret.
Yes.
Everything.
Yes.
And they tell you that when they call you?
Mm-hmm.
Hey, this is, like, our number one rule is you got to keep everything a secret. Because if anything gets leaked, that's pretty much a PR nightmare for them, right?
Yeah, for social media purposes. And it makes total sense. Yeah, they ask you to keep it a secret no matter what process.
Yeah, absolutely. And filling out some stuff before this, and you talked about being a child and stopping people on the streets. So this goes way back, your auditions, right? Mm-hmm. Can you talk a little bit about that? I need to hear more about you being a child, stopping people on the streets and singing to them.
Yes. So my go-to song was My Heart Will Go On, Celine Dion, which says a lot. but basically, I'm from such a small town, I knew who the music teacher was. And so I would specifically stop her on her walks, and my older sisters would have these parts in the spring sing or whatever. And they would sing them to practice in front of us, and I would learn them. And I would stop her, and I would sing them to her to let her know that, like, when I was in her class, I was ready. I was ready for whatever she had to hand to me. And for a while, I would do that. And then I went through this phase where I was really shy about it, but she would still give me parts. And then, like, there was a point, I think, like, in the fourth or fifth grade where I actually ended up singing, like, a little big town song and, like, just ripped into it for the first time in a long time, because before I was just doing Celine Dion, no problem. And then I got a little shy for a little bit, and then it just all came out one day, and I haven't stopped since.
So you've loved singing since you can remember.
Yes.
Probably since you can walk.
Yes.
And your parents have always been a big supporter of you, it sounds like, since day one?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. My dad always says that, you know, we didn't travel for sports. We traveled more for music and that sort of thing. And they still, to this day, go out in Effingham, has, like, a great music scene. And they're out, like, every weekend. Oh, we're seeing so-and-so, so-and-so, you know,
that's
just
awesome.
All the time. Yeah.
That's awesome. Mm-hmm. And what was the inspiration like? Like, what were they listening to? Were maybe some Celine Dion? Or what were they listening to that would inspire you that you kind of would take and run with?
So I kind of got, I would say, screwed, for lack of a better word, because my dad would listen to Bonnie Raitt. He would listen to Chaka Khan. We would listen to, like, all these female artists. So I just thought everybody listened to girls. And I grew up and I was like, oh no, like, not very many people do. And so I always tell people that I'm like, I really thought that, like, everybody listened to females all the time. But we listened to that. We listened to Jackson Browne and the Eagles. And then my mom was like Madonna, Michael Jackson, all over the place. But yeah, I grew up with a lot of female artists in the house, and mostly because I'm one of four daughters.
Oh, okay. Yeah. That was my next question. Siblings. Are you the only one that plays mm-hmm. any instrument or musically talented at all?
We all did pep band.
What is that?
Like, just, we didn't have a football team, so we would play at basketball games. Yeah, I grew up with no football either. Coming to the South was a...
Like in high school?
No, I didn't have it in high school. I went to community college, so I didn't even have... I didn't go to my first football game until I was 19.
What?
I know. I know. Isn't that crazy?
Yeah. That, hold on. We got to stop here. That just seems... That's wild to me.
Yeah.
But did you know at the time, like growing up, how big football was, even though you didn't have it? Or was it just kind of like a foreign thing to you?
No, I had no idea. I knew that it was a thing, like, in other areas in Illinois. Like, we have it there, but our school wasn't big enough. Like, we don't even have a track. We have a track team that goes to state every year, but we don't have a track. They run on the asphalt, they run on the street, which is why they're probably so good.
Wow.
Yeah. So, honestly, like, I didn't grow up with football. Like, when I moved to the South, I did not realize, like, what Saturdays and Sundays looked like here at all. And then, you know, people texting me, oh, we're going to go watch the game. I'm like, what game? You know, like, who?
They're like, there's 20 of them today. Yeah. You pick. I don't know.
Exactly. They're like, oh, we're going to this bar because it's, you know, X bar. I'm like, I don't. Okay, cool. What color do I wear today? Who am I a fan of today? Because I just really don't have any allegiance to it. But I'm working on it. I'm learning how to be a Southerner. I've been here 7 years, so I need to figure it out.
I mean, it doesn't take very long because I'm from Southern California, and football is big, but the South is a whole different ballgame. College football in the South is a whole different ballgame. You go out, like you said, to a bar. Every bar has a designated school that they're tied to, and all these fans are there. It's amazing.
Mm-hmm.
But it's definitely an adjustment, especially if you have never even been around it.
So I went to Illinois State, and it was the one year that we actually, like, did pretty well. I think I could be wrong, but I'm pretty sure this is when Colton Underwood was playing for us. And I could be making that up. I don't know. That's what somebody told me.
We'll go with it. Who cares?
But we actually ended up doing pretty well, and my friend and I ended up, like, on ESPN, just, like, waving to the camera. My dad's like, you've never even been to a football game.
Really?
How are you on the TV?
Really?
How are you on the TV right now?
That's awesome.
Yeah.
So you went to Illinois State, and then you came straight to Nashville after you graduated?
Yeah, like a month later.
You knew the whole time? What did you major in first?
I majored in public relations.
Okay. And did you know in college, I'm going to move to Nashville when I'm done here and pursue my music career?
Yeah, because I couldn't get into music school. So I ended up just after that kind of fell apart. I wanted to be a music therapist, but I didn't know enough of the technicality basically behind it to get into school. And I was like, okay, well, if I'm going to pursue this, I'll go to Nashville when I'm done here. And I didn't know anything, honestly. I moved here. I thought Broadway was Music Row. And I was telling people that I was going to sing on Music Row. Yeah.
They're like, for what label?
Exactly. Like, they're like, okay, cool. Where?
Yeah, exactly.
I'm like, Tootsies. Duh. Yeah.
You never been? You never heard of it? You said music therapist?
Yes.
What is that? What would that?
So a lot of them work. My plan was to work like kind of side by side with speech pathologists and help with that. Or I also like the idea of working with just special needs kids. I had always kind of volunteered in high school doing that. And so it was just a thought. And it's how, like, you know, stroke patients will learn to speak again, that sort of thing.
Interesting. Yeah. I've never heard of that. But that sounds, I mean, I think music in general is kind of a therapy for all of us in some way, right? Whether it's a happy therapy or a sad therapy when you need it. Has it always been that kind of therapy for you, music?
Oh, yeah, 100%. I mean, especially, I've been writing since I was 16.
Wow.
So just being able to get that out on paper. And it was just originally a homework assignment from my guitar teacher. He's like, you're going to go home and you're going to write a song. And then I just never stopped.
Do you remember what song it was?
Yeah, it's called Reasons. I think I took it down off of YouTube to the chagrin of many people I went to high school with. They love it.
Really?
Yes. And it was very Taylor Swift. Like, Taylor Swift was obviously huge. You know, Teardrops on My Guitar was, I think, eighth grade. Mm-hmm. So, yeah.
Okay. So then you first moved to Nashville. Mm-hmm. What you're a month in. Go back to being a month in Nashville. What are you thinking? What's going on?
I am working at Ruby Tuesdays. My car is broken down the day after I moved here.
Oh, no.
I think I had maybe had internet for a week at that point. I quit Ruby Tuesdays and I get a job selling phone book ads in a county in Tennessee that doesn't. Basically, it's 2016 and I'm selling phone book ads.
I was going to say, was this 1990?
No, it was a lesson my parents let me learn.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah.
How is that even a job in 2016?
You know, it might still be if you looked hard enough. But basically, it felt like a real job. Like, they flew me to Chicago for training for a week. I came back. And that's actually when I would listen to the Bobby Bones show the most, was because I was like, I had an hour and a half commute.
Wow.
It was far. And so I would listen to Bobby Bones. And that was kind of like my first month here, was just kind of crazy doing that. But that was like the one light of my morning, of being able to listen to that. And then eventually I got hired on to do I started leasing apartments and got hired at Tootsie's all in the same like weekend. So it was crazy.
Wow, that's a lot. And then So you were playing downtown for how long?
So I did that for probably a few months and then ended up just deciding to do leasing for a little bit and then work on writing and writer's rounds and things like that. I'm glad I did. And then 2018, I went back to Broadway basically full time.
What was that like? What's your relationship like with Broadway as an artist?
It's non-existent anymore.
And that's a good thing?
Yes. At first I was pretty upset, because it comes down to one of those things where you know that you're, a lot of people down there who are super talented get the short end of the stick when it comes to playing down there, because I am not the type of performer who's going to take a shot with you, because I have three more hours to go. Like, I am not a partier necessarily when it comes to being on stage, and those people tend to get more shifts.
Interesting.
So basically at the time when I was losing gigs, I was upset, but now I'm kind of like, it's a blessing in disguise. I'm not closing the bars anymore. It's sometimes being up there makes you feel unsafe, because you can see everything that's going on, and it feels chaotic, to be honest.
Yeah. What did it ever, because some people have talked about not being able to play their own music. And if you're on Broadway, you're pretty much never playing your own music, right? You're always doing covers. And it is what it is. It's part of what makes Broadway, Broadway. And they, you know, these tourists come in and pay. Was that a big thing for you as well? You weren't playing your own music?
I think for sure. I mean, especially because the one thing Broadway opened up for me was being able to write as much as possible, because I could make my own schedule and kind of figure out, okay, I can fit in a write here, write there. And that was when I was writing the most. And so you're spending your mornings writing these songs, and then you're up until 3 a.m. singing other people's songs that you just don't even, a part of me couldn't even register what I was writing and what I was doing every day, because I was so focused on making sure I made money singing other people's songs.
Mm-hmm. So you're not playing in there anymore. Are you playing anywhere local still?
Yeah, I'm still doing writer's rounds pretty regularly, anything down on like Demumbrian or Division. And then I'm just kind of playing Illinois. I go back up there quite a bit and play every so often. And then just places here in Tennessee around. But I don't necessarily go down to Broadway anymore, just because it felt a little exhausting after a while.
Yeah, I'm sure that could take a toll on you. The long nights, early mornings. I'm sure if you have another job. Mm-hmm. Do you still have another job?
So I, at the time, like at last year at this time, I was working part-time leasing. I was still doing real estate. I was still writing and I was still closing the bars.
Wow.
So I decided that I needed to take a second and basically Broadway went away. I focused more on writing and then I took my license over to apartment locating. So I'm with Apartment Insiders now and I do that and I make my own schedule. So it's been way different.
Awesome.
Way different.
Okay. So what's the last year for you been like making that adjustment and kind of has it been better, worse,
crazier? The stuff that I've gone through this year, it doesn't feel real. Like it's, I moved. I lived by myself for the first time. I had to basically pivot my entire career that I've been used to since the pandemic, both real estate and Broadway. And then I was on TV, and that's obviously a huge turning point. And then, you know, also just dealing with like the internet, TikTok, things like that, learning how to add all of that into my schedule because that's so important these days too. And learning how to just kind of work with how quickly the music industry has changed in the past few years, like especially this last year in general has been like chaotic for me to be able to figure all of it out.
This festival and concert season will be all about the boots, and Tecovas is your next stop before attending your next concert. Tecovas has seasonal and limited edition offerings this spring. You're talking about men's boots, women's boots, apparel, hats, bags, and more. All Tecovas boots are made by hand in a time-honored tradition, timeless style, always on trend. And Tecovas has first wear comfort, little to no break-in period. Like, it's hard to find this level of comfort paired with this level of style. Plus, direct consumer pricing keeps the value on your feet, the money in your pocket. So stop by your local Tecovas store, have a complimentary drink, shop the new styles. You like the smell of leather or no?
I love it.
Yeah, that's what the whole store basically is, fresh leather,
yep.
Friendly staff. Or like the smell of staff?
I don't know. I guess I'm sure they smell good there.
Many stores have leather custom branding to make your boots truly personalized. What a gift, too. Regular live music and events, there is no in-store experience like this. If you can't make it to a store, just visit tecovas.com.
Tecovas.com.
Tecovas.
Yeah. Yeah.
Tecovas.com. Find your new favorite pair of boots today. Willie Nelson, Waylon Jennings, Kris Kristofferson. How do the biggest names in outlaw country start a musical revolution? Through one woman's vision from one tiny living room. Don't miss Mandy Moore as Sue Brewer in the new scripted Audible original, The Boar's Nest, Sue Brewer and the Birth of Outlaw Country Music. Discover the true untold story of the extraordinary woman behind the outlaw country music movement and its biggest stars. Brewer shaped the sound and soul of country music as we know it today, despite never picking up an instrument herself. Lovingly dubbed as the Boar's Nest, Sue's place was an intimate staging ground where a new breed of singer-songwriters, wounded souls, wayward upstarts. That's where they would spur each other and tap into something bigger and something realer. Starring Mandy Moore and featuring Eben Moss Backrack as Shel Silverstein and TJ Osborne as Johnny Cash alongside a full ensemble cast. Audible invites you to enter the Boar's Nest and experience the rise of a musical revolution. One woman, one time, one place. The Boar's Nest, Sue Brewer, and the Birth of Outlaw Country Music. Listen now at audible.com/theboarsnest. This is the year to stop overpaying for your family plan. So choose a Straight Talk wireless family plan. Unlimited data, talk, and text on a reliable 5G network. And you can get a new line starting at $25 per line per month for 4 lines, plus taxes and fees and no contracts. That's good decision making. Available at Walmart and on straighttalk.com. Family plan discount with 4 lines, all on the Silver Unlimited plan. Not combinable with auto pay discount. In times of traffic, your data may be temporarily slower than other traffic. Video streams at up to 480p.
Now, what's social media like for you? Because it's a big part of what I talk about on this podcast, just because most artists on this podcast are huge on social media, because as an independent artist, you kind of have to be to stay relevant, right? Mm-hmm. And it could be a real love-hate relationship. Like, that's how I feel about social media. It's a could be a great thing, but it can also be exhausting. It can be overwhelming. It can be unhealthy.
Mm-hmm.
So as an artist, for you, what is that relationship like for you?
I have a love-hate relationship with TikTok. I think most musicians do, especially people who have been here longer.
Mm-hmm.
Because the thing I struggle with the most is that I've been here for 7 years. And when I moved here, it was a 10-year town. And you do this, and this is how it works. And you go in order. And it feels, and if you're putting in the work and posting the TikToks and writing the songs, I'm all for it. But sometimes it just feels like people skip the line a little bit.
Yeah.
And that's what I struggle with the most, because I have done the things, you know. When I first started singing, when I was 15 or 16, I'd upload a YouTube video every week. That was the thing to do. And then when Instagram became the thing, I would upload a video a day. That was the thing to do. TikTok is 3 to 5 a day. That's insane. That, yeah. I would be mentally unwell if I had to do that.
Do you feel like music has, the quality of music has taken a dive a little bit because of that? Because everyone's always looking for the next thing. Like, mm-hmm. people are coming out with songs every week now. Like, dropping almost like a single every week, it seems like, on every Friday. It's like, so-and-so, and I'm like, wait, they just came out with an album of 20 songs mm-hmm. 2 months ago, and right. they got more music coming out already?
Right. I think definitely, I don't know if it's quality necessarily. I think the biggest thing I wonder whenever I see people doing that, I'm like, where are you getting your money from? Especially if they are independent. I'm like, what are you doing? How are you doing this? Like, do you know somebody? Are you dating a producer? Like, what are you doing? Like, do I need to learn how to do this myself? That sort of thing. And yeah, I just, that's the one thing I struggle with the most, is like where the money's coming from. Because I can't, that's, I think right now, when I first moved here, it was maybe like a song a quarter.
Yeah.
And now it's 6 to 8 weeks yeah. is what you're really shooting for. That's minimum.
Because you have to pay for all that studio time yes. and the recording and all, and I'm sure it is not cheap.
Yeah, I mean, average right now, I would say $2,000 a song.
Wow.
Yeah, if you want something quality. And one of the things, and this sounds like, I don't know how else to explain this, but with my voice, sometimes it's hard to, like, it can sound bad because if it's too loud, or it just needs to be compressed correctly. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And if it's not done correctly, I can hear it, everybody else can hear it. Versus, like, if you have an easier, softer voice, like mine is here and all over the place. And so I do have to pay more to get that done on some, or make sure it's done right, basically, because I've had instances where I've had to redo something and spent even more money than I planned because it was not done right the first time.
Do you think that's, what's the hardest thing about being an independent artist?
Probably the money then.
Really?
Yeah, I still think it's the money, because that's just a song. Okay, we need visuals. Okay, we need, you need visuals. Okay, are we going to pay for playlisting on this one? Are we going to, you know, outsource it to, like, I've outsourced playlisting before, just like to another country, because I don't know how else I'm supposed to afford it. Versus like using playlisting here. Like, and a lot of people, I don't even know how many people really know what that means, but mm-hmm. basically you have somebody basically curate playlists and send out your song, and hopefully it ends up on playlists.
And you're doing all that yourself.
Yes.
And it's, mm-hmm. I'm sure it can be hit or miss. Mm-hmm. And sometimes you're looking at me like, yes, it's been all
yeah,
of the above.
It's been everything.
What's the best part about being an independent artist for you?
I can pick whatever I want to put out, and I can post whatever I want and do whatever I want on social media. And, you know, I think if I had restrictions, I don't know if I'd even prefer that, to be honest. I'd prefer money, but mm-hmm. at the same time, I don't know if I'd prefer the restrictions.
Mm-hmm. And then how would you describe your style of music? Because I've heard a few of your songs, seen you perform. And at first, I'm like, oh, this is like some heart. This is like a rock chick. Mm-hmm. She gets, you know. And then you hear some of your songs, like the Vanilla Song, is more like a softer mm-hmm. song. And you talked about your voice a little bit. So how would you describe your type of music, genre of music? Is there a certain description?
I always tell people kind of like a southern rock, anywhere from like Morgan Wade, Elle King, Cassie Ashton, like in there. I get compared to Cassie Ashton vocally a lot. So anywhere in there. And I think she's kind of the same way, where they're like, she's pop, she's country, mm-hmm. she's this, she's that, you know, mm-hmm. a little bit all over the place.
Yeah, which is, that versatility can definitely help you.
Mm-hmm.
Who have been some of the people out here in Nashville that have helped you, you know, when you're struggling, or say been a shoulder to lean on in the mm-hmm. industry? Because I know it can't be easy. There's obviously a lot of dark days with mm-hmm. some good days, but
yeah.
has there been somebody that you kind of look to for, whether it's advice or what to do in a certain situation?
Yeah, Jackie Stevens. So she, I don't know. Do you know Jackie? It might sound familiar. She worked with, yeah, she worked with, UMG for a long time, she was with Brothers and Eric Church and Kylie Morgan, John Langston. She was, basically in radio with them. And then now she's the producer on Nights with Elena.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
And how'd you meet her?
At Whiskey Jam. She had, yeah, at Whiskey Jam of all places. She had heard a song This is so funny. She's going to die that I told this story. she had heard a song that I had written for my friend Williams, who's an awesome artist. And she was like, I love this song. I want to figure out if I can help you. And at the time, I thought she was an accountant. When somebody said she was something accounts, I was like, she's an accountant at Universal. Got it. Cool. Like, but what can she really do? And I just told people for the longest time that she was an accountant. And she's like, Allie, I work in radio. Like,
oh, man.
I actually like work with these artists personally. Like, I was like, oh, I'm still going to tell people you're an accountant because like if you're, I just want to be your friend. Like, I just want this to be normal. I can't think of you. Is this like, you know, she knows everyone.
Really?
Yeah, she knows everyone. She's kind of seen it all. So I always go to her for advice for sure.
This festival and concert season will be all about the boots, and Tecovas is your next stop before attending your next concert. Tecovas has seasonal and limited edition offerings this spring. You're talking about men's boots, women's boots, apparel, hats, bags, and more. All Tecovas boots are made by hand in a time-honored tradition, timeless style, always on trend. And Tecovas has first wear comfort, little to no break-in period. Like, it's hard to find this level of comfort paired with this level of style. Plus, direct-to-consumer pricing keeps the value on your feet, the money in your pocket. So stop by your local Tecovas store. Have a complimentary drink. Shop the new styles. You like the smell of leather or no?
I love it.
Yeah. That's what the whole store basically is. Fresh leather.
Yep.
Friendly staff. Or like the smell of staff?
I don't know. I guess I'm sure they smell good there.
Many stores have leather custom branding to make your boots truly personalized. What a gift, too. Regular live music and events. There is no in-store experience like this. If you can't make it to a store, just visit Tecovas.com. Tecovas.com.
Tecovas.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Tecovas.com. Find your new favorite pair of boots today. Willie Nelson, Waylon Jennings, Kris Kristofferson. How do the biggest names in outlaw country start a musical revolution? Through one woman's vision from one tiny living room. Don't miss Mandy Moore as Sue Brewer in the new scripted Audible original, The Boar's Nest, Sue Brewer and the Birth of Outlaw Country Music. Discover the true untold story of the extraordinary woman behind the outlaw country music movement and its biggest stars. Brewer shaped the sound and soul of country music as we know it today, despite never picking up an instrument herself. Lovingly dubbed as the Boar's Nest, Sue's place was an intimate staging ground where a new breed of singer-songwriters, wounded souls, wayward upstarts. That's where they would spur each other and tap into something bigger and something realer. Starring Mandy Moore and featuring Eben Moss Backrack as Shel Silverstein and TJ Osborne as Johnny Cash alongside a full ensemble cast. Audible invites you to enter the Boar's Nest and experience the rise of a musical revolution. One woman, one time, one place. The Boar's Nest, Sue Brewer, and the Birth of Outlaw Country Music. Listen now at audible.com/theboarsnest. This is the year to stop overpaying for your family plan. So choose a Straight Talk wireless family plan. Unlimited data, talk, and text on a reliable 5G network. And you can get a new line starting at $25 per line per month for 4 lines. Plus taxes and fees and no contracts. That's good decision making. Available at Walmart and on straighttalk.com. Family plan discount with 4 lines. All on the Silver Unlimited plan. Not combinable with auto pay discount. In times of traffic, your data may be temporarily slower than other traffic. Video streams at up to 480p.
Nashville for me has been, I've met a lot of people who mm-hmm. have helped me or wanted to help me. And it seems like that kind of town, I know everyone can be a little bit different mm-hmm. experience wise outside of her. Even do you feel like you've gotten a lot of help out here in the last 7 years?
I do. Yeah. I feel like especially in the past few years with just The Voice and like, things kind of building up a little bit more, I feel like I've gotten some more help, some more meetings, just like things like that. But yeah, I feel like Nashville's always been a super friendly town. That's the one thing that hasn't changed. There's been a lot that has changed since I moved here, but the one thing that hasn't is most musicians are willing to help you out mm-hmm. if they can tell that you're a good person.
Do you have like an envision in your brain where you're like, if I do this, I know I made it kind of mm-hmm. thing, you know, whether it's make a big viral TikTok mm-hmm. video, but mm-hmm. that's probably not your thing. But, you know, like, or is it signing with a record label? Is it performing at a certain venue? Do you have something in your head where you're like, okay, I'm successful now?
Right.
Or I made it.
I think, well, and it's funny, Jackie and I went to Beyonce, actually, I'm going to bring her up again. And she was like, do you want this? And I was kind of like, that feels like a little big for me, but I love like the Ryman maybe would be like huge for me. Like I would be cool with that, basically, especially with like what Jason Isabel does. He just sells it every October, like a whole week out or whatever. Like, I think that's dope.
Yeah, that would be amazing.
Yeah.
Have you, would you have a certain venue that you played at that's been your favorite, most memorable venue you've ever played at?
Man. I'll say that I recently did a festival that's new to Effingham that they're really trying to bring some like bigger acts there. Cooper Allen did it. I'm trying to think of who else. Cooper Allen, Big and Rich, Brett Michaels, and then I was on the same bill as Blackberry Smoke. And they put up this whole big, I mean, it was a huge festival. It was their first year, and I just did that. And I have to say that that's still my favorite because it was kind of cool to see it in my hometown, like
yeah.
that area for sure.
Yeah. Do you ever play in, have you ever played in, you probably have, but recently in your small hometown? What was the name of it again?
Neoga.
Neoga.
I haven't, actually. I was asked to do Hometown Christmas, but I unfortunately am not going to be there for it. But I haven't played there since, I think, 2 years ago. And I did their like little Christmas thing, and it was super cold, but it was cool because my nephews got to see me play. And yeah, no, I haven't played there in a long time. We don't have too many venues. We're not a huge like drinking town. Mm. Effingham has more bars.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
Gotcha. Yeah. Okay. What else, as we kind of wrap this up here, you talked a lot about music. What else do you like to do? What are some of your hobbies?
I try to stay in shape. I like to exercise just for mental stability. I actually am like a huge, I listen to podcasts all the time, comedy podcasts specifically. I love stand up. I love anything along those lines. What else do? I hang out with my friends. I wish I had more cool hobbies, but music is like pretty much all I do.
Yeah, that's all right. That's a cool hobby though.
Yeah.
Do you ever go to Zany's?
I went to Zany's. I saw Jared Freed there for the first time. I had lived here for so long, but I finally went to Zany's. It was really cool. I saw Nate Bargatze do the Opry out there. That was really, really cool to see because I had never been to the Opry. And saw him perform there, and it was awesome. Yeah, that's one of my favorite things.
Do you ever do any stand-up or any comedy, or no?
I've considered it in the past, but I don't think that I have, like, told jokes on Broadway and bombed, and the difference is I can just go into a song.
True.
And if I'm on stage, I don't think I'd be able to handle that.
Just bring your guitar up there. Yeah. Who knows?
I feel like I've seen enough rejection in my life already that now's not the time to start.
That's true. A little PTSD yeah. for you. Okay.
Yeah.
Well, what else do you have coming up? Maybe at the beginning of next year or throughout 2024?
Yes. I am planning on releasing quite a bit of music next year. I know my first single will be called Fallout. I wrote that with Taylor Davis and Matt Morrissey. So I'm super excited to have that one out in the world. And then plenty more to come after that. So that's the plan. I had a couple holdups this past year from releasing all that I wanted to. So plenty next year.
Be on the lookout. Follow her on social media, Ali Keck Music. Check her out. Stream her music. Support her. Ali, thank you so much for coming on.
Thank you.
This has been a Bobbycast production.
This is the year to stop overpaying for your family plan. So choose a Straight Talk wireless family plan. Unlimited data, talk, and text on a reliable 5G network. And you can get a new line starting at $25 per line per month for 4 lines. Plus taxes and fees and no contracts. That's good decision making. Available at Walmart and on straighttalk.com. Family plan discount with 4 lines all on the Silver Unlimited plan. Not combinable with auto pay discount. In times of traffic, your data may be temporarily slower than other traffic. Video streams at up to 480p.
This is Malcolm Gladwell from Revisionist History. eBay Motors is here for the ride. With some elbow grease, fresh installs, and a whole lot of love, you transformed 100,000 miles and a body full of rust into a drive that's all your own. Brake kits, LED headlights, whatever you need, eBay Motors has it. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, it's guaranteed to fit your ride the first time, every time, or your money back. Plus, at these prices, you're burning rubber, not cash. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
With every CBD product claiming to do something different, it's nearly impossible to decide what's best for you. Lazarus Naturals pioneered the farm-to-front-door model of transparency where they handle each step of the production process to ensure quality, potency, and consistency. Scannable labels allow you to see the test results of your hemp batch so you can be confident in the safety and quality. Visit LazarusNaturals.com today. Lazarus Naturals, committed to improving your life as well as the world around you. Not available in Idaho, Iowa, or South Dakota.